Why live a normal life when you could be living the abundant life? Welcome to the Abundant Life Program with Ashley and Carly Terades.
Hello and welcome to Abundant Life. We're so glad you've joined us today in the lounge. I'm super excited because I have my good friend and mentor, Andrew Womack, with me today. Praise God. Thanks for being here, Andrew.
Thank you for having me.
I appreciate it.
I love you too.
I appreciate it. You know, it was in 2006 we met Andrew, and it was through the healing of our daughter. Our daughter, Hannah, was dying. She was released from hospital, and they gave up hope. And we turned up at an Andrew Womack conference. Andrew was preaching. You prayed for her. And she was miraculously healed, praise God. And that was 13 years ago. She's 100% healthy, not one thing wrong with her now. And it was through Andrew's teachings. Mm-hmm. You know, and I know you don't mind me saying this. It wasn't you. It was the message.
Absolutely.
It was the word of God that came through you that changed our life. So when we hooked up with Andrew, we not only did we see our daughter healed, we saw our lives healed. We saw our lives turned right side up. We went to Caris Bible College shortly afterwards and spent 3 years under the word there. And what a great place that is, Caris Bible College. If you're not hooked up with Caris Bible College, you need to be. CarisBibleCollege.org.
Powerful.
It is powerful. Wherever you're watching in the world, they have campuses over 70 locations around the world. You can do it online. You can do correspondence. But I would recommend you getting in touch with Caris Bible College and getting involved, because if you want a deeper relationship with God, it's the way to do it.
I don't know any other Bible college that only, and there might be, I just don't know any other one, that only uses the Bible.
That's true. We've had people from other Bible colleges come in seminaries. Mm-hmm. We had one person that went through 4 years of seminary and they never opened the Bible.
Wow.
And that's just terrible. One of the things we do in my class is you have to read the Bible through in a year's time, because I think it'd be sin.
Can I tell you something?
To graduate from a Bible college and never ever read the Bible.
I'm gonna
snitch on him now. Okay. So when we were going through your class in Bible college, there was a question at the top of the test paper, and it said, "Are you up to date on your Bible reading? Yes or no?" And if you put no, immediately you lose 20% of your marks.
Right.
You can only get 80%.
And did Ashley lie?
I couldn't lie. My sins would find me out.
But this is what he did every time that the night before you had a test.
I crammed.
He crammed. So he. I think they've changed the rules a bit now, probably because of Ashley. But he'd go through the Bible and find all of the shortest chapters of the Bible and read those, so that he could say he's read, you know, his X amount of chapters or whatever he needed to do to say
now
yes.
That's
on his test.
Still not
I got it done.
Right.
I got it
you're
done.
Supposed to read all of the Bible, not just the shortest.
Yeah, but I got it all done eventually. But
I crammed
the night before.
What a great deal at Bible college, my son. You're forgiven.
That's funny. They might edit that out later. But you know what? It's a great program to have to read the Bible. And not only that, it's everyone who teaches has a revelation of the word. And it's not just you. You have all these other great ministers. I think they added up the experience. It's like 200 or 300 years experience of ministry.
Well, it's over 1,000.
Over 1,000
years. Just on the staff.
Oh, wow.
Was that Wendell making up
600
years?
Wendell makes about 500 or 600.
We love Wendell Parr. He's a great guy.
He's the only person that has a first-hand account across in the Red Sea.
There you go.
Wendell helped Andrew start Caris, and they have lots of banter together, praise God. He's a great guy. But Caris is great because the faculty there are awesome. You know, our Pastor Lawson Badu, we say Lawson, you say Larson, but Pastor Larson Badu, he's on faculty there.
Actually, he's bilingual.
Barry Bennett, so many great teachers on there. You can check them out for yourselves. You'd be really blessed to come to Caris, so, and at least come to one of the events. They have events all the time, awmi.net/events. Come to an event and experience it for yourself, praise God. It's awesome. So yep. We're so glad we hooked up your ministry. We did Bible school for 3 years. Then we was on staff. We hung around so long. Andrew figured if they're not going to go anywhere, I might as well hire them. So in the end, we started working for him. We did various different jobs for Andrew. And then about 18 months ago or so, the Lord led us to start our own ministry, Terades Ministries.
And here we are today.
Here we are today. You've helped. You've been a great help in our starting our ministry. Andrew put us on his gospeltruth.tv internet station. That's gospeltruth.tv. You can watch that from any browser. Just go to gospeltruth.tv. And we're on there twice a day, praise God, daily. So go on there. You'll see lots of good teachings. And that really gave us a launch, a head start, praise God, to get started.
Yeah, you've launched out past us. You've been on, you got your own network going.
Yep, now we're on all over Africa, Europe, and America, praise God. So,
that's awesome.
So it's neat. So we're blessed getting the gospel out, and we just look at it, we're spreading the message, we're running with you, helping spread the message. So what you did for us is you showed us how to receive it ourselves and how to give it out ourselves.
Well, I know you're supposed to be interviewing me, but what were you guys doing before Hannah got healed? Would you have ever believed that you would be living in the States and on television and traveling the world?
Isn't God good? I was so English, I was like, I'm not leaving England. And then now I love America so much, I became a citizen.
I was fixing to say, you're more American than most people that were born here.
So, no, we love it.
I mean, honestly, going back to that point, you know, before we picked up that little white cassette tape that completely changed our life, we didn't realize the stress that we were under as a family. Mm. You know, when you're dealing with a child that's chronically sick, I mean, there was a strain not only on obviously on Hannah's life's hanging in the balance, but on our marriage.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
I mean, I was living in the hospital with Hannah, seeing my boys at the weekend. I mean,
I was self-employed. So
Ashley was self-employed. So if he didn't work, we didn't pay the bills. It was our life was a mess. A complete.
You know,
mess.
I just interviewed Marin Hamm. Do you know her?
No.
But she's a girl that had a lot of things wrong with her. She was in a motorized wheelchair. Yeah. And she was dying. Mm-hmm. It was very similar to Hannah. But anyway, I interviewed her about her healing when she came to CBC, but her sister was on with her, and her sister just could not cope with seeing her sister die. Mm. And so she had withdrawn, and she was into some bad stuff. And the marriage was falling apart. The sister was a senior in high school, but she had nothing to do with her sister and stuff. And so anyway, I'm just saying that to say I could imagine how your kids might have dealt with Hannah's sickness.
Yeah, we've got two older boys, and they had to deal with it as well. Really, sickness, this is why I hate sickness so much, because sickness doesn't just affect our bodies. It affects everything. It affects our minds. It affects our relationships. It affects our productivity. I'm telling you, people, if you've experienced sickness in your body, that is not God's mm-hmm. will for you. God's will for you is to be well. God's will for you is to be healed. That's how He designed you, and that's still His will today. And you may have heard people say, we believe this, Andrew. We believe, you know, well, maybe God's teaching us something through Hannah's sickness. Isn't that sad?
That's what people were telling you.
Yeah, about. People were telling us, maybe God's teaching you something. And I didn't know the true gospel until I heard your ministry. I didn't know the true gospel. So I thought, well, maybe God's doing this to bring glory for Himself. And I didn't understand. God's a good God, and He only does good.
Actually, that really was the crux of what turned our life around. Mm-hmm. When Hannah was, you know, people think, oh, it's because you're so happy and you're so blessed, and you know, maybe they don't know our whole story, but you know, you're happy because your daughter was sick and now she's well. But, you know, that before that even happened, we got a revelation of how much God loved us. Mm-hmm. And that's really what made our faith become alive. You know, Galatians 5:6 says that faith works by love.
And when people are telling you that God loves you so much that He's killing your daughter,
it doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense, and it skews your whole impression of what love is. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know Andrew Mullins. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that story? But Mike Mullins was a dad, and he was working for a Christian ministry, and his child had stage 4. Cancer, and as long as they were depressed and discouraged, they embraced them, loved them. God is doing this to help you. But the moment he got hold of the truth that God wants you well, they kicked him out of the ministry and says, you don't serve the same God.
Isn't that sad?
That we serve. And he says, you know, I don't think I do.
Amen. Isn't that sad?
But his son got totally healed. But
amen.
I just can't imagine how this affects people to think that God is the one who kills people and causes this hardship.
Well, and you can't resist something that you've embraced.
That's right.
That's good.
You know, that's James 4:7, right? Submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. If you're embracing something because ultimately you believe that God is the author of whatever, it doesn't need to be sickness and disease, but whatever condition, mm-hmm. whatever predicament you're in, you cannot resist it.
That's right.
And so you're going to end up living with it and won't see the victory in it. Even if you understand that God loves you, you can still be in a place of being passive and not resisting something that God wants you to be free from.
I know that you guys know Deborah McDermott, and mm-hmm. her two boys were healed of autism. But I've interviewed her, and I'm not sure if you saw this on my program or not, but she was being pressured, and the social worker says, you've got to make friends with autism. If you reject autism, you're rejecting your boys, because this is who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, Deborah says, that is not who they are. And she says, I'll never make friends with autism. I hate it.
Amen.
And that's one of the keys to seeing that Amen. Miracle.
And Timothy was autistic, and now he's in your shows. He heads up your productions.
He moved here to the States. He's from England, moved to the States, and lived 3 years by himself and one of the most popular kids in the school.
Yeah.
And he was unable to get out of the house.
And memorizes thousands of lines for these three shows he performs in.
He even played God in our last musical,
David. I love that,
David.
That was so neat.
And I told him, I said, you know, you've come a long ways from being autistic and can't get out of the house to playing God.
Isn't that neat?
That's pretty good.
That's God, though, isn't it? God can do that. Isn't that awesome? But I think it's one of the worst doctrines in the body of Christ that says that God does bad things. And, you know, you may have heard that yourself watching at home. You may have even believed that yourself. I did. And it will cripple your faith. Mm. It's going to be really hard for you to receive from God if you think he's the author of your problems. I'm here to tell you, God is not the author of your problems. God is a good God. He only does good. And you know, one of the easiest ways to explain this is look at the life of Jesus. Jesus said to Philip, right, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And yet, if you study the four Gospels, you'll see Jesus going around healing people.
Amen.
Never once did he put a sickness on anyone. Never once did he refuse healing. When people came to him, he healed them. And that's God's heart today. And Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm telling you, it's still God's will for you to be well. It's still God's will for you to be healed. And God's so good. He can take a bad situation and bring good out of it. And he can teach through a bad situation, but he's not the author of those bad situations.
But you know, actually, right there, you've lost some people.
I know,
already.
Right? They've already,
right there, the sacred cows are moving.
They're already writing in complaining.
They're already writing in. Because, you know, and we came from this background that we knew that God was God Almighty. God created the heavens and the earth, and he's controlling everyone, isn't he?
Hmm. Oh, this is the sovereignty of God.
This
doctrine.
Is the sovereignty of God. So, Andrew, I mean, how do you counteract? How do you explain
how do you reconcile
sovereignty?
That?
Sovereignty of God to people.
People, the Bible doesn't teach that. Mm-hmm. People who believe this have to pervert Scripture. Like, there's a bunch of them, but James 4:7 mm-hmm. is real clear. Submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. That shows that God is in control of some things and the devil. If you think that God controls everything, you'd have to say he even controls the devil. Mm-hmm. And for you to resist the devil, you would be resisting God.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so this is a slick deception on the devil's part, because if he can get you to think that he is sanctioned by God, then you won't resist him.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't make sense, because people say, God put this sickness on me to teach me something, or it's punishment, or it's making me better, or whatever. If they really believe that, they should never take medicine.
Don't
they
go
should
to the
never
doctors.
Go to the doctor.
Right.
They should not try and get out of God's will.
It's just to stay sick.
You have to be a religious person to believe that God controls everything. Even unbelievers don't believe God controls everything.
Mm.
I actually saw a woman on a television program who her and her daughter were both abducted at gunpoint, both raped, and then he made them lay on the ground and shot them in the back of the head, and the daughter died. The mother survived, but she had physical problems, and she was on this television program saying, well, we know that God had a purpose in all of this happening, and she blamed God for rape and murder, and only a religious person would blame God. Like
honestly,
that.
Having come from that background, I think there is a temporary comfort that that people can embrace with that kind of understanding.
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely.
And part of that is it kind of absolves you of any kind of responsibility.
Yep.
And, you know, I don't know whether I'm probably going to upset some people here.
Well, it's too late now.
It's too late. It's too late.
It's
too late now.
But all in now.
You know, if we're part of a church where there is no signs, wonders, and miracles, it's a convenient doctrine to explain the absence of the power of God in your church, because it says, well, God's in control of everything, good or bad. Everything that happens is up to God, and it means it inoculates people against any kind of authority or power or personal responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
To overcome or walk in the things that the Scriptures talks about.
Well, when my dad died at 12 years old, the pastor of the church came over and says, God needed your dad in heaven more than you needed him.
Yeah.
And what that was, it was an attempt to try and make sense out of a tragic situation. Everybody likes to have everything just all departmentalized.
Right.
That short-term
life makes sense. And we've got an enemy out there, and he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And so it does give short-term comfort, like, well, God, you must have had some purpose.
Mm.
But in the long term, it does tremendous damage, because if God is the one who caused all of this tragedy in your life, you don't want to get real close to him.
Right. You can't have intimacy with Jesus if you think, you know, he might put a cancer on you to teach you something.
I had a woman in one of my churches that had a boy that died, and she called me, and I went over and prayed with him, and he died in my lap.
Mm.
He was 2 years old. And So I was holding him, and for 2 hours we stood and prayed and commanded him to come back. And anyway, we just didn't see him come back from the dead. And I was tempted to say, well, it must not be God's will, because I did everything I knew how to do. They did everything they knew how to do. And you don't want to sit here and say, well, I failed. And because I failed, this child died. So I can understand the motivation for blaming God for negative things, because it takes the pressure off of you. But I told this lady, I said, look, I don't know what happened, but I can guarantee you God did not kill your baby. I said, either I am not strong enough, or you aren't strong enough, or maybe they're just things that we don't know. But I said, God did not kill your baby.
Amen.
And I did a funeral for this little boy, and it was tough. It would have been wonderful to come out and say, well, you know, God works all things together for good, and this...
He wasn't an angel in heaven.
Maybe he was going to have a really tragic life, and so God just killed him now to prevent all...
I've heard that one as well. Isn't that
terrible? It's terrible.
And so I was tempted, but I just couldn't do it. And I said, look, I know that God loves us, and whatever we've missed, God forgave us. But I said, God didn't do this. It's our fault that this happened.
It's not good.
And anyway, it was tough on them. But this woman prayed, and it's a long story, but the Lord showed her why it happened. And it was, she had this child in down in Guatemala, I think it was, and she was a little tiny woman, and she had it in a taxi on the way to the hospital.
Wow.
And because of it, it had all kinds of problems and stuff. And so the doctors told her from birth that he had no immune system, and if he ever got a cold, he would die. There was no point to bring him to the hospital. And she had lived with this for 2 years.
That's
and so for
fear.
2 years, she had been in total fear. And when he got a cold, she was actually believing. She wouldn't have said that, but fear, she was expecting him to die.
Fear had painted that picture on the inside of her.
And so anyway, after, say, 2 or 3 months, the Lord finally made that clear to her. She came to me and she says, I know it wasn't God's fault, it was mine. And she says, He will never steal from me again.
Amen.
And the doctors had told her to never have another child because she was so small that they'd have to take it C-section, and there was a good chance of her and the baby dying. So anyway, she just rejected the doctors, and she had 6 more kids,
Amen.
All
six
natural kids. Childbirth,
Amen.
At home.
Wow.
And every time one graduated from high school or college, she sent me their picture in gown saying, thank you for telling me the truth.
Praise God.
Wow.
So it would have helped her momentarily to think that God was in control of this, but
those
long
six children wouldn't
not
be
long
here.
Term.
That's right.
Not long term.
They would not have been.
I heard a preacher say this. It may have been you. I may have stolen it from you. I'm not sure, but this really helped me. You know, when something happens, sometimes we never do know the answers. Sometimes we never know. I've known friends that have been standing in faith and not seeing their healing or their loved ones die. But we never question the goodness of God.
Absolutely.
We never say it's not God. And I heard a preacher say it this way. He said, you know, there could be an airplane crash. They could spend millions of dollars researching that crash. Was it pilot error? Was it mechanical error? Was it the air traffic control? Was it weather conditions? All these things. There could be 100 different reasons why a plane crashes. And they'll try and find out. But, you know, there's still plane crashes today that they still don't know why that plane went down.
But no one says, will gravity quit working?
That's right, exactly. No, they don't question gravity because gravity is 100% constant all the time. The goodness of God is always constant.
Amen.
God's will is always for you to be well. It's never for you to be sick. And you need to. We can never get off of that. We always need to be grounded on that truth that it's God's will to be well. And if we don't understand the answers, maybe God will show us. But, you know, ultimately, it's God's will for us to be well.
And, you know, Jesus used this exact logic comparing God to like an earthly father. And he says, if a child asks a piece of bread, will you give him a stone? If he asks a fish, will you give him a serpent? If he asks an egg, will you give him a scorpion? Mm-hmm. And he says, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? So just look at it this way. Would you put cancer on one of your children to teach them something?
No, we'd be accused of child abuse.
That's right. If God was a person, He would be arrested by any civilized nation in this world. And yet people are blaming God for things that we would hate if a person did it. And it's just wrong. Right here in Colorado Springs, we had a guy that brought his daughter, and she was quadriplegic. She was 12 years old, and she was mentally, she couldn't communicate. She wasn't even conscious. Her body was functioning, but they had to change her diaper, 12 years old. She was in this wheelchair. And he got mad at me because of this very thing that we're talking about. So the person who brought him says, wait until the meeting's over and ask him. And so anyway, his daughter was in a wheelchair in front of me. I was standing in front of her, and he was behind the wheelchair, and he started saying, God made her this way. This is God's will. He's getting glory out of this. And I tried to share with him, and it wasn't penetrating. So finally, I used this line of reasoning, and I just said, what kind of father are you that would want your daughter to be in a wheelchair, quadriplegic, unable to communicate, changing her diapers, 12 years old? I said, what kind of dad are you? And boy, he didn't like me in the first place. Right. He got really hot.
Wow.
I mean, he started to attack me, and he says, I love my daughter. I would do anything for my daughter. I would take her place if I could so that she could be free. And he was screaming at me, and I just turned around and I said, and you think God Almighty loves your daughter less than you do?
Wow.
And all of his doctrine just went out the window, and he says, I see what you mean.
That's good.
If we could just understand that God is a good God, only good and perfect gifts come from Him, people wouldn't accept that God is the one that causes their child to be the way they are. Mm-hmm. Like Hannah.
Right. Yep.
To think that God would cause Hannah to suffer and all of the things that you went through and your boys went through and stuff. God didn't do that to you.
Amen.
God wouldn't do that.
Amen.
And you know, God's will isn't changed because our circumstances don't line up to what we think they should.
That's good. Yeah.
And I think sometimes, you know, we it's easy to miss that. Like, you know, we could look at our circumstances and think, well, you know, we've got poverty in our family. We've got, you know, genetic conditions in our family. We've got birth defects in our family. We've got these alcoholism in our family. Therefore, it must not be God's will to prosper us, or it must not be God's will for us to be protected, or for us to be provided for us to be walking in health. Because I'm not, otherwise I'd see it in my life. Well, this comes back to the sovereignty of God again, doesn't it?
So this, another way of saying that is most people interpret what the Bible is saying by their circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
And if they have negative circumstances, then they try and make the Bible conform to it. But what you should do is conform your circumstances to the Word of God.
That's good.
And say, I'm sick and this has been in my family, but what does the Bible say? And you can't find God putting sickness on people as a blessing.
Amen. Mm.
Now, in the Old Covenant, He did strike some people with leprosy and things, but it was not a blessing.
It was never described as a blessing. It was always described as a curse.
And Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law, Galatians 3:13. And so God is not the one who's putting sickness and disease on us.
He's a good God.
Amen.
And He only does good things.
How do you say it? You can't look at a natural circumstance to determine a spiritual
position. Yeah, a physical condition doesn't change our spiritual position.
Amen.
We are secure in Christ. We are children of the Most High God.
Amen.
And He loves us. And nothing in our life, no circumstances in our life are ever going to change that.
Amen.
But the bottom line is most people don't let the Bible get in the way of what they believe. It's like, this is what I believe. This is what I've been taught. And they said that miracles passed away with the apostles, that God is sovereign, that God puts things on you. And they go by those things and they don't let the Bible influence them.
They just believe. I didn't realize how much I'd learned through religion, through church, rather than the Bible. So when I first listened to your teachings, now I had to look at the Bible and say, where's that in the Bible? And you know, one thing I remember you said, God, you know, I was taught in my church that I went to, God was mad at Adam. He was so mad at Adam, He kicked him out of the garden. He was disgusted and He broke fellowship with Adam. And you taught, God put Adam out of the garden out of mercy and He never broke fellowship. God stayed in fellowship with mankind all the way through. And I thought, that's wrong. And I felt the Holy Spirit say, well, show me in the Bible. So me being ignorant, I'm going to show the Holy Spirit where that is in the Bible. And I searched.
That worked for you.
I searched the Scriptures and I couldn't find it in the Scriptures that God was mad at Adam and Eve. It was actual fact. He stayed in fellowship with them all the way through. So you're dead right. We need the Bible to be our final authority. We need to be the promises of God to be what motivates us. We need to line up our natural circumstances to the promises of God. And that comes about by reading the Bible. You have to renew your mind to the Word of God. If you don't know what the promises of God are, if you don't know what the Bible says about your situation, how are you going to know what the truth is? How are you going to know what God's will is for you?
You know, here's another line of reasoning, and I've started using this, that I have seen my son raised from the dead, my wife raised from the dead. You have seen your daughter virtually raised from the dead. Here we are saying these things, and we have fruit that's good. Some of the people who are probably saying, this has to be wrong. It can't be this way. How's it working for them?
That's right. They haven't got fruit. Yeah.
They're struggling. Yet they're holding on to these doctrines. If what you are believing isn't working for you, maybe you ought to consider that I need to change what I'm believing.
Right.
That's good.
What fruit do you want?
That's good.
That's right.
I remember one time someone phoned in your helpline about Hannah's story and said, I don't believe that Hannah's story, that's actors.
Oh, this is in England.
That's actors. Miracles passed away with the apostles. God doesn't heal today.
And they're all actors,
they were really upset. So they phoned your helpline. It just so happens out of the tens of people that answer your phones in England, they got my mother. She was volunteering on the helpline. And she said, well, I appreciate what you're saying. She said, but my name's Linda Terrades and I'm Hannah's grandmother. And I was right there. And this guy was just speechless.
He didn't know what to say.
God set him up.
I was kicked off of a television station because he says, you said that your son was raised from the dead and God doesn't do that. You're a liar. And they just kicked me off the station.
Well, how long was he dead for?
He was dead for nearly 5 hours.
That's right.
4 and 5 hours.
That great miracle right there.
Came praise back God. With no brain damage, no more than he had before.
I love it. That's great. Well, I tell you what, Andrew, it's been so good having you on the program today. Praise God. And I just want to tell people before we leave them, you know, it's God's will for you to be well.
Amen.
God has provided healing for your body, praise God. Jesus provided it on the cross, praise God, and now it's yours. So that is God's will for you. And Andrew, I'd love you to pray for the people and just lead them in a prayer.
Just got a few seconds. In Jesus' name, be healed.
Amen.
Jesus has already provided it. Now you receive it. Speak it out with your mouth. Say that I am healed. Talk to your body and it will obey you in Jesus' name.
Amen, amen. Praise God. That's the truth right there, praise God. And you know what? The short prayers are often the best. Jesus
amen.
Prayed short prayers.
Be healed.
Be healed. That's all we need, amen. So it's God's will. You know, we're going to be back real soon with another Abundant Life program. But remember, until next time, don't just settle for living a normal life because Jesus paid for you to live the abundant life. We'll see you next time.
Colorado, are you ready to live an abundant life?
I had chronic pain in my shoulder. I can't sleep at night. I'm healed. I can hear better. Praise God.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Praise God.
Hello, this is Andrew Womack, and I would like to encourage you, if you have the opportunity, to attend one of Ashley and Carly Terrades' meetings. I've known them for a number of years. Their daughter was healed when I prayed with her, and they have worked for me. And I tell you, I am very impressed with what God is doing in them. They flow in the supernatural power of God, see a lot of miracles of healing. They have great revelation of the Word of God, and I tell you, I'm just seeing God bless their ministry in a big time way. So you'll be blessed. If you haven't heard them, you need to attend one of their meetings anytime you can. I promise you, you will be blessed.
Ashley and Carly Terrades will be joined by special guests Prophet Joseph Z and Pastor Lawson Perdue at their free Abundant Life event.
No, because Jesus came not just to give us life, but to give us life more abundantly.
Amen. God's got provision for everyone to live an abundant life.
Abundant Life Event Colorado Springs 2019, Saturday, April 27th at Caris Christian Center. Find more details on our website, abundantlifeevent.com.
We've been talking today about a teaching that really impacted Ashley and I and actually led to the healing of our daughter Hannah from an incurable disease. She was sent home from the hospital with just a few days to live when we listened to Andrew Womack's teaching called The New Identity in Christ. If you'd like a copy of this free teaching, we're making it available to you today on our website at terradesministries.com. Get your free teaching today.
Visit our website, terradesministries.com, anytime to order teaching products, share your testimony, find upcoming events, donate, and much more. That's terradesministries.com.
Oh, it's wonderful. We're supporters. We started supporting them last year. And since we've done that, we have been so blessed. Our house is paid off. Our cars are paid off. We are debt free.
Join Ashley and Carly in spreading the good news of abundance and freedom.